Hello everyone, welcome back to the Body Mechanic, the School of Autonomy podcast. My name is Penny Kafkalakis, I am your body mechanic. Today we are going to be talking about the mental and physical benefits of training while you are injured. Now, this is something that I'm not telling you absolutely have to train while you're injured, but there are a lot of injuries that people have or that people come across where they say that they need complete rest and they need to rest and do specific things and do absolutely no exercise at all. Now, depending on the injury and depending on the advice of your doctors and your specialists, please follow their guidelines in what they say. But if they're telling you like, hey, you can still go for walks or still keep active at some extent, right? A lot of it's also got to do with your mental capacity to just go, you know what? I know me. I know my body. I'm autonomous. I know what I can do. I know what my body can do, and I'm going to go do this. So we're going to start off with one of my personal stories, and I'm going to give you my three shoulder reco stories just so you can get a perspective of what benefits you can get from still training while you are injured. And one of the biggest things is our neural pathways and our nervous system and how it crosses over into both limbs, lower body and upper body, and how that can benefit the injured limb as well. So I had my first shoulder reconstruction when I was in year 10. When was that? 2006. So in 2006, I had my first shoulder reconstruction. I tripped in a ditch hunting for Easter eggs. Everyone always gets a laugh out of that. That was a six-month rehab. Tore my cartilage in my right shoulder. Had to have a full reco. The cartilage that was torn kept on getting stuck in between my shoulder, my ball and socket joint, and it kept subluxing. So it kept on dislocating, going back into place. Six-month rehabilitation. Now, I can guarantee you, I did not do all the exercises I was meant to do. I was in year 10. How old was I? I was like 15, maybe. Around about that age, 15, 16 years old. Didn't want to do it. And what I say to any young listeners out there right now, and what I always recommend to all my clients, is do the rehab. Don't skip out on it. Don't think it's silly. Don't think it's something that that won't work or that's not going to pay off, because trust me, that's why I'm in the work I am in today as a remedial massage therapist, personal trainer and rehab trainer, is to help people, anyone that's listening, anyone that comes and sees me for either training or for rehab or for actual treatment, is to tell them and stress to them how important it is to do the rehab. So I hardly did any of the rehab still to this day. This is years later, it's 2023 now. I still get numbness in my right arm. I still have weakness in my right shoulder. And I can guarantee you it's because I did not do those exercises when I was meant to be strengthening up that shoulder. I did not do any other exercise. I did not train at all. I was dormant. I sat down. I walked around a bit. I was in a sling. Felt sorry for myself mentally. Didn't feel good, and was going through depression at that time as well, and just overall was a big kerfuffle in terms of rehab. 2 years later, or 4 years later, I had was doing my 3 rep max. We'll be talking about rep maxes in another episode, but I was doing my 3 rep max for squat press in my CrossFit days when I had just maxed out my 3 max. My 3 rep max back squat. Shouldn't have maxed out 2 things in a row without any rest, but here, me, young gym goer, PT and everything, wanted to just lift anything and everything I could. Actually got it on video of me actually dislocating my left shoulder on almost a full extension on a shoulder press, on the press part of the squat press, my shoulder locking out, popping out, 67.5 kilo load comes on top. Tore everything anteriorly, so anything that was holding my shoulder in at the front of it, all torn, all gone. That time, that rehab, again, it was 6 months. I did do more rehab because I was in a better environment. I was out of high school and I was a PT, so I'd come and I'd train my clients. So I was doing it. I was using it, and I was doing things, you know, with my clients that I knew I could train them in and things like that. Just couldn't do boxing, really. So that rehab was a little bit better because I was, you know, active. I had good, positive people around me. And what that taught me is that the good, positive people and having a purpose, having something to do every day that you loved and having a goal in mind and having people motivate you, especially my clients, they kept me going as well. So thank you to all of you guys if you have caught on to this podcast all those years later. You know, that mental state definitely helped me through. Take it back a couple years after that, was riding home, cycling home from work, got hit by a car, ended up blacking out, but fell full, my left shoulder, my left arm was in full extension, fell all on my left side. I tore everything in my shoulder that was repaired 2 years before. I tore everything posteriorly as well. So my whole shoulder was just a mess. Like for the time I was waiting to see surgeons, because it was a TAC claim, surgeon wouldn't touch it, had to find a specific surgeon. So for a good couple of months, 2 or 3 months, my shoulder would just fall out of place just whenever it wanted to because nothing was holding it in. Even, like, I refused to wear a sling because I just didn't want to wear it. It was restricting me too much and things like that. So, yeah, I dealt with that, went to the snow with it as well and just tobogganing and, you know, just fall out. It wouldn't hurt anymore because I couldn't feel anything. I also broke my neck. I broke the transverse process on the left side of my cervical 4 vertebrae. I also had severely bruised my hip in that accident where I got hit by a car. My rehab time I was given for all of that was 18 months. An 18-month rehab. The longest rehab I've ever heard of in my life. And the longest rehab I would personally have to go through as well. And the difference with this one is that I was in a better headspace. I was in a better mindset. And I thought to myself, I was in such a good routine with training. And training was one thing I would do every day with my best mate, and we'd go to the gym and we'd do a workout and we'd be ready for the day, like at 6 or 7 a.m. we would go. And obviously after my surgery, after my shoulder reco, I couldn't drive. So I made a deal with myself, and this is what, you know, if you are injured, make deals with yourself. Be passionate about getting yourself better. It is so important for you to do that, just for yourself. To create that resilience within yourself is super important. So made a promise to myself that I was living up my nonna's at the time, and the bus stop was on the other side of the block. So I would get up at 5 a.m. in the morning. I think I'd catch the bus at like 5:23 or 5:30 or whatever it was. I'd get the bus into the city from Doncaster, living in Australia, Melbourne. At the time, and it would be about a 20 to 30 minute bus ride into the city in Melbourne, and I would go to Lonsdale Street where I could get on the train to Parliament, at Parliament Station, and I would get the train going to Richmond, which was one or two stops. I think it was one stop then, and I would walk to the gym by myself, or I would meet my mate at their apartment, conveniently right outside Richmond Station, and we would go to the gym together still every single morning. Now, the difference with this is that because I made a promise to myself of what I was going to do, and because I had a mission that I was going to do leg day every day I went to the gym, because I could not do anything with my upper body because of my neck, my recovery for my neck, so I couldn't do anything with my right hand. I could, obviously I was in a sling, but I could do leg day. I still had two other limbs that I could train. Right, and I would do some light things on my right arm, don't get me wrong, but I wouldn't do, like, you know, shoulder press or any compound movement because I wasn't allowed to. And I couldn't even fathom myself doing that with my neck the way it was. So it was leg day every day, and I would just train, and I wouldn't care if I did the same thing every day, right, or like similar things. I would go and train, or even just go there, do a couple of exercises, and be in that environment. Environment is huge. You have to be pretty strong and resilient character to not let environment affect you in any sort of way. So being in that gym environment, having chats with people and them knowing what I was going through and actually still training and still going through it, still eating healthy, One of those days, I think I walked 20,000 steps because I'm like, I'm not going to catch any cabs or buses today. I'm just going to walk everywhere, right? Having things like that. Also, socially, the mental state of having socially when not allowed to work, not allowed to really do much, is catch up with mates. Make sure, and this is what I did, is that every day, or if not every other day, I would organize to meet people up near their works and go out for coffee with them where their work was. So that was the city. There was a lot of mates and family in the city that I'd go and catch up for coffee, and that would be my goal for the day, to get up to train to see at least one person that I don't normally see, right? That is what got me through, and doing the exercises that I needed to do when I was able to get my arm out of the sling. My rehab, I cut it in half by doing that kind of routine, by trusting myself and knowing that I needed to focus, yes, on my rehab, but also focus on still every single other part of my life and not let an injury dilapidate me, not let it demoralize me and crush me and absolutely just throttle me to the ground. My rehab was 9 months. My surgeon said to me, it'll be 18 months. It was 9 months. I was able to get full range of motion in my shoulder and in my neck at 9 months, right? Things like that are possible, but it is up to you, the individual, to make sure you drive it that way, to make sure you've got good people, good support network, everyone around you. And this is when I truly started believing that everyone can heal their own body so long as they got the right people, the right environment, the right headspace about them. You can heal yourself. You can get yourself to where you want to be in the time that you set for yourself, because your mind is an extremely powerful thing and your body is as strong, if not stronger. And so we all can do it. We just need to set those goals. We just need to set something every day, even if it's something as little as I'm going to train every day and I'm going to see someone new every day. Two little things got me through, and my headspace, my mental space, a million times better than what it was initially in my first two shoulder recos. In terms of me training my right arm, when my left arm was all out of whack, my left side, I would still train it. And the reason is because what I said at the start of this episode with your nerve endings and your crossovers of your nerves is that your nervous system crosses over from one limb to another. There's been studies shown that if you train your right leg and your left leg is not able to do anything, your left leg still gets some sort of strength, some kind of strength development from your right leg doing things. The same thing when I was training my right arm, right? I knew and I believed that my left arm would be getting some kind of benefit from my right arm training. It's been the example that you want that arm to be, that leg to be. So if you are able to train, of course, again, with your doctor's approval and things like that, but it is still possible to train. It is still possible to at least go for a walk, or, hey, can you go in the water? Can you do some walking in the water? It's weightless stuff. There is always a way to exercise, to train, to keep your head. It's not just about your body getting stronger and rehabbing. It's about your head, getting your head straight, rehabbing your mind. Resetting it, proving to yourself that you can do it, proving to yourself that you are stronger and that you will create that courage and that resilience to know what you can do. It's not about what you can't do. You can't think like that, especially when you're injured. It's hard to think, I can't do this anymore. I can't get a glass of water. I can't get up in the morning without some help. I need help having a shower. You know, I can't do that on my own anymore. You can't think like that. You need to stop. It's about what can I do? You know? What can I do? I can listen to podcasts. I can listen to audiobooks. I can, you know, I can at least get my towel ready for the shower. I can at least get the bowls out. I just need someone to pour my food for me. You know? So, I know this was a little bit of an extended episode, but I really wanted you to understand and really, I wanted to share my story about doing rehab on myself, on my shoulders, and really that was those three times, and especially the last one, was really when I started to understand how strong the mind and body can be and how strong one individual can be, and to cut your rehab time in half and to prove, to prove people wrong and to really show them what you're made of is really important. So, this is Pennycuff Galarkus, the body mechanic, signing off. I'll see you on the next episode.